Hi, I'm Fran. Welcome to Dishing Up. This is a light bite all about maize. I'm Romanian, specifically from the east, so when we drive home we have to go for what you would call the Romanian or Wallachian plains, where it's just miles and miles of yellow cornfields. Really, it's maize, which most people would not be able to tell apart, but the flour you get from it is a bit coarser and is used in what I would call the bread and butter of Romanian cooking. Mamaliga, the main dish we make out of maize flour, was the food of the peasants. In rural areas, especially during summer, the people working the fields would not have the time or the energy to make bread, which could take a whole day, or you'd have to let it rest for a day in itself. So they would make mamaliga, which takes about 15-20 minutes and only requires maize flour, salt and boiling water. Mamaliga is most similar to the Italian's polenta, except polenta is a lot squishier and mamaliga uses the coarser version, so the result is almost gritty between your teeth. The history of maize flour is that it came to Romania around the end of the 17th century, at the same time as the rest of Eastern Europe, and it became an obsession. In politics, agriculture has always been used to sort of push the parties campaigned through, and especially during Soviet rule, with Nikita Khrushchev being nicknamed Mr. Corn. While his initiative ultimately failed, it did help for a few years, despite his quite negative view of Romanian people, to the point where he would call us Mamaliga people, because that's all our country was used for, was growing corn and then producing it, distributing it. The texture of mamaliga can be changed depending on the food it is served with by adding more or less maize flour. The process is quite simple. First, you would wait for the water to boil while adding water, sort of like you do before making rice. And then you'd add a tiny bit of maize flour, letting it bubble, and then the rest. I could not tell you exactly how much to add. You have to do this with your heart, and you have to sort of make a connection with mamaliga, know how much to add to make it and yourself happy. If you want to use a substitute bread, you would add more maize flour so it becomes thick and dry enough on the outside to be sliced, while still maintaining the sort of banana bread consistency on the inside. I wouldn't necessarily have that in a toasty, but you could have it with meat and cheese and anything else that you would add bread to. Another really popular way to serve it is with a grilled or fried meat, especially sausages. Then you have fresh grated cheese and creme fraiche, in which case you want to be closer to the consistency of a well-made porridge or a mash. There is a sort of witchy element to mamaliga, because traditionally it would be made in a cast iron cauldron over an open flame. A lot of times it was a massive cauldron because you would have to feed everybody working on the field. There are many stories of beautiful women in folklore that would make this and then carry to the fields the man they love and just sort of serve him the biggest piece. And, you know, it's always with a wooden spoon, it's always being stirred and it's always having people and especially older women gathered around it. When I say that you have to make mamaliga with your heart, I still haven't perfected it myself, and maybe that is because I have moved here and I've had less chance to make it with other women in my family. My mom will just look at a fistful of flour and know it. She just knows how much will be enough and what to serve it with. Interestingly, my mom did not make it growing up. She is not Romanian, she is Moldovan, and while we're neighbours, we have quite different food cultures. The way my mum learned how to make it was when she first met my dad when they were both working in Italy. So they were both immigrants, they met and they knew they were from these countries that were so similar and yet had this major difference in food. When my mum would use bread, my dad would make mamaliga. So he taught her how to make it within the first few months of them dating. And now it sort of becomes a thing where he'll watch over her, but he knows to trust that he taught her well. With myself, I don't tend to have it much anymore. I'm still quite scared to make it in my house in London, mainly because I would have to find all these different shops and different instruments that I would need for it. However, it always reminds me of the holidays. It reminds me of Christmas and Easter dinners when I would go home and that's the main thing I would ask my mum to make. When a text comes through asking what you want to eat, I would say mamaliga, because that's what you have when you go home. And maybe it's part of me that is scared to share this with my British friends because I'm scared they will not understand it, they won't like it, they'll find the texture strange. Well, for me, this is what my childhood was made of. It's the one thing that still reminds me of my grandma and going to this house where we would have to make it on an open flame because she didn't have a stove. And it's the one thing that really kind of makes me and my mum spend so much time in the kitchen together, because even if I cook them a whole dinner, she has to come in and make the mamaliga for me. And I am really hoping that maybe by the time I have my own kids, I will know the same things as my mum. You could blindfold me and I will add the maize flour and I'll just make the perfect mamaliga. Thank you for listening. I'm Fran, this is Dishing Up, and now you know all about maize. See you next time, and remember, who you are is what you eat.